Welcome everyone to our service of worship this Lord's Day morning, whether you're in the hall here or through in the church building, or if there's anyone listening in the car park outside, or listening at home later on. I'll begin with the announcements for the week ahead. This evening we have our evening service here, God willing, at 7:30. And then our midweek meeting is on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock here in the church hall. Next Sabbath day, the Sabbath school meets at 11 a.m. And there's a visiting preacher next Lord's Day. I'm going to be on holidays for a few days, hoping to finish up on Friday and be off until I'll be off the Sabbath day and the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Paul Wallace is due to come next Sabbath for morning and evening worship. Today is the first day of the new regulations that we're under, and we're required now, unless you're exempt, required to wear a face covering when you're coming into the church building, when you're going out, and if you're moving around within the premises. So when you're seated in your position, you are 2 meters distant from other people. You don't have to wear your face covering when you're seated. It's only when you're on the move. So that's the intent of the regulations. When you're moving, you'll not be less than 2 meters from other people. But when you're seated, you are. You may wonder if it makes any sense at all. That's the sense that it's supposed to make, and so we're required to observe those regulations. If you're under 13, you don't have to wear a face covering. The offering that we had for the relief fund for the Lebanon appeal, the total donated was £880. And that will be rounded up to £1,000, and that goes to the relief fund, and then it's to be used in Lebanon. The final announcement, then, on Thursday night past, there was a women's fellowship prayer time through Zoom, and there's an apology from the women's fellowship executive committee. That meeting was restricted to 100 people, and there were more than 100 people that tried to get involved in the meeting. So once the 100th person was there, nobody else could get in, and they weren't aware of that in advance. So there's an apology if you tried to log on and weren't able to. I tried to get Jennifer on, wasn't able to, so I know that was what happened. So those are the announcements. We'll come now to worship God. We join together in the worship of God as we speak to him in prayer, and if you're able, please stand now as we pray. Our Father in heaven, as we draw near to you in worship today, we come to you with thankfulness. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for your good provision in all the days of our lives. We praise you for this place where we can come to join together in the worship of God. Thank you for many who are gathered here in the church hall, for others who are gathered through in the church building. And we praise you, God, for the space that we have, for the rooms that we have, and for the arrangements that we're able to put in place for these strange times when we're not able to do what we would normally be doing. And we give thanks, O Lord, for your provision in these matters, and we pray for your blessing upon us now as we look to you. Lord, we come together today for the purpose of worshiping you. We pray that you will help us as we seek to do this, and we pray, O God, that by your Holy Spirit, you will work in our hearts. We pray that you will use your word for the good of our souls, that you will help us to draw comfort and strength from the things that we find written in the Scriptures. We praise you, Lord, that your word was written by means of real people who lived in this same world that we live in. And we thank you for those who were guided by your Holy Spirit to write down the things that they did write down. And we pray that today we will benefit from the written word of God. Help us, O Lord, as we look to you, give us a firm and real trust in you. And forgive us, O Lord, for when our faith is weak or when we don't exercise faith at all. We pray you'd be pleased to give us, O Lord, faith in Jesus Christ. If we don't have that, we believe it is the gift of God. Hear us, O Lord, forgive us our sins. We ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. We turn to read from God's Word, from Psalm 27. Last week I was speaking on Psalm 26, and today I want to read, and then later on I'll be speaking on Psalm 27, reading from the New King James Version, and it's on page 493 in our pew Bibles. Not that there's too many of you sitting in pews, but that's what we tend to call them. Psalm 27, and reading the whole of this psalm. It's a psalm of David, and these are the words of God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, for you have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so reads God's own true word. Now I'll say a few words to the children here today. I'm sure if you're anything like me, that you enjoy playing hide and seek. I can think of many happy times in my childhood playing hide and seek. particularly at a neighbor's farm. And you'll know if you've played hide and seek that there's some places that are an awful lot better for playing that game. Some places there's a whole lot of different situations where you can hide, and other places it's very hard to find anywhere that's any use at all for hiding. Well, in the psalm that we've read here, the writer David speaks about hiding. And in his difficult life, there were many times when he had to hide from his enemies. And when he had to hide, it wasn't a game. It was serious. And if he had been found, if he had been caught, he would have been put to death. So when David was hiding, he needed to hide very, very well. And today in our world, there are people who are meeting together to worship God, and they're not doing it in a church hall like we are, but they're doing it in secret places. They're doing it in hidden places, and they're trying to make sure that nobody knows that they're there. They have to be well hidden, because if they're caught worshiping God, they could be put in prison for a long time. Now, David talks here in Psalm 27 about God hiding him. He doesn't tell us that he was really good at hiding, but he talks about God hiding him. And God hid David away in lots of different places so that his enemies weren't able to find him. It wasn't that they didn't look for him. They spent a long time looking for him, but they didn't find him because God had hidden him, and God had hidden him well. See, God knows all the best hiding places, and God was able to hide David so that none of his enemies found him. And God still knows today how to hide his people away and how to keep us safe from the harm and the danger that is round about us. And so when we're concerned about threats to our life, when we're worried about what might happen to us, we can remember that God hid David. And David says in verse 5, "In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." Man, God is well able to hide us from the dangers that threaten. Now, we're going to speak to God in prayer now. And as we come in prayer today, we'll be giving thanks for God's mercies over the past week. Last Sabbath evening, Tom Hill got a phone call from the Royal Victoria Hospital saying that they'd had a cancellation, and could he come for surgery that he'd been waiting for? Could he come for surgery on Monday? Could he be in for, I think it was 10 o'clock last Sabbath night, and this was about 7 o'clock in the evening, and he managed to get sorted for that, and he had surgery at the Royal on Monday, and thankfully that went well, and he was well enough to be able to get home from the hospital later in the week. So we'll give thanks that there was a cancellation that enabled him to have that surgery for an aneurysm, and that it has gone well. But pray for Tom and for Beth as she looks after him in his recovery after surgery. I want to mention also, I mentioned this on Wednesday night at the prayer meeting, our Ballylagan congregation, they had drive-in services in their church car park from about the middle of June, and they continued those on until the start of October. And they had some people that came to their drive-in services that wouldn't have been attending church, and they also had people living in the neighborhood within a bit of a mile radius of Ballylagan who could hear the services because they had got huge speakers that had a powerful volume, and so there was no bother hearing. And last Lord's Day, there were seven different people that were at worship in Ballylagan who wouldn't normally have been there, but had either started coming along in their cars during the drive-ins or had heard, could hear from home. And so we can be thankful for how God has brought that about, and the encouragement of seeing, actually having extra people coming as a result of the changes for the pandemic. Ballylagan haven't got enough room in their church building to just have one service. So their arrangement is that they have a service at 10:30, and half the congregation come to it, and then they have a second service at 12, and the other half of the congregation come to it, and they're both recorded, and then they don't have anything in the evening, but the folk who are there for the first one can listen to the second service then later in the day, and vice versa. And so that's just something to be thankful for. Also mentioned for prayer, I'm involved in visitation of presbytery to Drimbol congregation, and this week I have various different meetings with folk in the congregation there, and would appreciate your prayers for that work in Drimbol. We come now to God in prayer, and if you're able, please stand as we pray. Gracious Father in heaven, we look to you as the God of the psalmist David, and we thank you for how you worked in his life, and we thank you that you're still working wonderfully in the lives of your people in these days. We pray, Lord, for those for whom meeting together in worship is a very dangerous thing, for those who have to be very careful about who sees them and where they go. And we pray, Lord, for your people who worship in dangerous situations, and we pray for them that you will hide them and protect them and keep them from the threats that are there in their lives. We pray, Lord, in these days when we are living under increased restrictions and new COVID-19 measures here in Northern Ireland, south of the border as well, and in England and Scotland and Wales, and different situation in different places. We pray that all of these things will have some positive effect. We pray that there will be a significant reduction in the infection level in these times. We pray that the numbers of people requiring to be hospitalized because of COVID-19 would decrease. And we ask, Lord, for your mercy in that. And we pray that this will prove to be effective, and that further measures would not be required. We pray, Lord, for those whose jobs are under threat because of these measures, and we pray that there may be minimal loss of jobs, that one way or another things can get back up and running after the four-week period. And we pray, Lord, for those who will be in a situation where they won't have a job to go back to. And we pray, Lord, for help for those people, that they'll get good advice, that that you would lead them into new employment. And we pray that there'll be those who would even in the future see that as having been a good thing, and something that proved to be a blessing, although difficult at the time. We remember those who are ill, and we ask, Lord, for your mercies. We pray for effectiveness in the treatments that people are receiving. We give thanks, Lord, for the surgery that Tom Hill had in recent times. Pray for him as he recovers at home, and we pray that his wounds would heal up well, and that you would renew his strength. And we ask, Lord, for good progress in his recovery, and we thank you for your providence and how that came together, that he ended up having the surgery earlier than he anticipated. We pray, O Lord, for the schools being off these next couple of weeks. We pray for your safekeeping for children. We pray for help in these circumstances, and we pray that children will be able to continue on in their education, that they wouldn't miss out. And we pray that the schools will be able to go back come the start of November. We pray for our mission work. We thank you for the new mission work we have in Spain. We pray for the Barakol family in Malaga. Be with them in their worship with the Reformed Baptist Church there in the city. And we pray for the services that they have in their own home on a Sabbath evening. We pray for Isaac as he preaches at those. And we pray that folk will continue to be able to come, and that group will be built up and strengthened. We pray for the family, for all the Barakol children. Pray for various ones that are experiencing changes in their school situation. Help them, O Lord, and we pray that you would provide for them. And we pray for the two boys that have autism, and pray for help for Rachel as she seeks to care for them, and to do what she can in bringing them up. We give thanks, Lord, for the Ballylagan congregation, for the encouragements they've had with folk coming to their services in recent times, and their drive-in services in earlier weeks. We pray that those folk will continue to come, and that they'll be able to benefit from being there. Pray for the church in Drumbolg. We pray for the smaller congregation there. Pray for Norris Wilson as he is restricted by the Parkinson's disease that he has. We thank you for all that he has been able to do. Pray that you'll continue to help him as he goes about his work. And we pray that the visitation meetings on this week will be helpful. And just pray for your help for myself and David Sutherland and Thomas Pollock in the work that we'll be doing in meeting with various folk from the Drumbolg congregation. Lord, we pray now that you'll help us as we look to your word, and we pray that you will use that word for good in the lives of your people. We ask now in Jesus' name, amen. We turn to God's word in Psalm 27, the chapter of scripture that we read earlier. Psalm 27, page 493 in our church Bibles. There are different things that we experience with our senses and in other ways that can trigger very clear and vivid memories of earlier times in our lives. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of how a smell can just take you back to where you've experienced that smell before. For some people, there are songs that have a particular association with a time in their lives. And the same can be true with the songs that are in the scriptures. The Psalms can remind us of particular times in our lives. I know for some of you, there are particular Psalms, and when we sing those Psalms, they will make you think of a particular time in your life. Well, for me, Psalm 27 is one of those Psalms. This is a psalm that God used long time ago in my life to encourage me during a time of prolonged illness when I was at the theological college. And I hope you will find help in what there is in this psalm, help for yourself. I want to speak first of all about the first six verses. And here I want to think about confident times. confident times. In these opening six verses, the words are full of David's strong confidence in the Lord. In verse 1, he looks to the Lord as his light, his salvation, and his strength. These are great words. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. And David speaks there about his trust in the Lord Almighty. And because he trusts in the Lord Almighty, he says, "Whom shall I fear?" And he says, "Of whom shall I be afraid?" And that verse in itself, if you think about that verse, meditate on that verse, there's great help to be found there. There's great hope to be found. If the Lord is your light, if the Lord is your salvation, if the Lord is the strength of your life, there is no need to fear anything. Now, David had plenty of reasons to be afraid. David had plenty of things in his life that he could have been afraid of. And this psalm is not a psalm written when everything was safe and secure and things were easy. This psalm was written when David faced a very real and pressing threat from his enemies. And he had already come through other times when his enemies had been really pressing against him. And David draws confidence from how in the past God has heard his prayers, God has answered his prayers, and God has granted him deliverance. He has done it before, David knows. David has been delivered from the schemes and the attacks of his enemies. And verse 2 speaks about what God has already done. When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. That's what has happened. He has seen it with his own eyes. He saw them coming against him, and he saw that they stumbled and fell. And then in verse 3, he expresses confidence for the future. The Lord will continue to be his light and his salvation and his strength. And so he says, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. David was confident in God. And that is a good confidence. And that is the mark of those who really trust in the Lord. Now, like David, we don't know in life what we are going to face in the future. David speaks about things that may happen there in verse 3. An army may encamp against me. War may rise against me. And he doesn't know that these things will happen, but he says if they do, he will be confident. He will be confident in the Lord. And if you're here today and you're a Christian, you don't know what may be coming against you, what may be coming, but you should be confident about who will stand with you. And where does that confidence come from? How can you have this kind of confidence that David had in the midst of so many dangers? Well, I think David tells us where he gets his confidence. And he does so in verses 4 to 6. Verse 4, he talks about what his great heart's desire is. He says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek. What is it? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. The thing that David wanted more than anything else, the thing that his heart was set upon, the thing that he delighted in, was to be in the place where God was worshipped. And David talks about the temple. There was no temple, hadn't been built as yet, but David expected that it would be built. He talks about God's house, God's tent, God's tabernacle. And that was the place where God specially was present. That was the place where God met with his people. We don't live in the days of David, but in those days there was one special place that they were to gather for the worship of God. And there, more than anywhere else, David beheld the beauty of the Lord. He sensed the presence of God, and he was unable to find confidence in God in the place of worship. And having been strengthened by that, he was unable to face the hard times of life. And so he says in verse 5, he says, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." And here David fully expects that there will be a time of trouble. And he was quite right. There were many times of trouble in the life of David. But he believed that whatever the trouble might be, that God would have some way by which he would hide him, or some way by which he would keep him safe. God would either hide him away somewhere, cover him over, or set him up in some high place where his enemies couldn't reach him. So David expects that he will emerge from all the troubles and the threats and the dangers, and he'll be safe and well. And he confidently expresses that in verse 6. He says, "And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord." David was confident in the Lord. It wasn't because nothing was threatening him. There were plenty of threats, but he found what he needed in the place of worship. And we live in a different era. There's no one place on earth that we have to go to be able to sense and experience the presence of God. But we still need to give ourselves to the public worship of God. And it is in giving ourselves to worshiping God along with his people that our fear can be turned to confidence. You can finish the week all sorts of concerns upon your heart, all sorts of worries about what might happen in the week to come. And then you can start the new week in the place of worship, and the Word of God can straighten out your thoughts and can remind you that there is a Lord God Almighty, and that he is able to hide you, that he is able to keep you. And our fears can be turned to confidence through the word of the Lord and the worship of the Lord. When we deliberately give ourselves to beholding the beauty of the Lord, it changes how we feel, it changes how we think about things, and it changes how we see things. And David longed to be able to be there in the place where God was and where God was worshipped. And there were times in David's life when he couldn't be anywhere near that place. He had to flee far from the tabernacle. And today, there are people not able to be sitting here among us. They're not able to be among God's people because of their health issues. They're separated from many of their brothers and sisters in the Lord. Well, David knew those times. He had times when he was in remote places and places where there just wasn't anyone else there with him at all. And he was far from the house of the Lord. The opening six verses are dealing with confident times. David says, I will be confident. Well, then moving on in the psalm, verses 7 to 12, we consider crisis times. Even if you have a double dose of public worship on the Lord's Day, even though that can work wonders in strengthening your confidence in the Lord, it doesn't mean you won't have a crisis to face on Tuesday or Thursday or some other day. And in Psalm 27, we just move quickly into the next crisis in the life of David. And in verses 7 to 12, he is crying out to the Lord to deliver him. He cries to the Lord, verse 7, to hear him and to have mercy upon him. Pleads with God in verse 9 that God won't hide his face from him. Pleads with God not to turn him away, not to leave him, not to forsake him. He seeks the face of God in verse 8, and he looks to God as the God of his salvation, verse 9. David has no other hope of deliverance. There's no foreign king or army that he's going to put his trust in. The days are gone when he can count on his father and mother, his father and mother to come and rescue him from the predicament he's got himself into. David knew that in this situation, if someone was going to take care of him, it would have to be the Lord. So he says in verse 10, when my father and mother forsake me, when they can't do anything for me, then the Lord will take care of me. And David knew these solitary times in his life, where it was so dangerous for anyone else to be with him that he had to go on his own. And his life was in danger. And anyone who was near him, their life would be in danger too. So David, at times when there were no friends, there were no relatives, there was no one else there to help him, to support him, to comfort him. But in those times, he knew that he could turn to the Lord. And he has this conviction at the end of verse 10. He says, the Lord will take care of me. Those are great words. The Lord will take care of me. And David needed to hold on to that conviction. And he needed to work hard at keeping that belief alive in his life. And so he prays in verse 11. He prays for God's instruction and God's leading. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. David isn't asking God to give David his own way. He asks God to teach David God's way. And he accepts that God's way may well be different from David's way. So teach me your way, O Lord, he says. David wouldn't have chosen for himself to be hiding in some hole in the ground out in some remote place. But that was God's way at a time. And what he really doesn't want to see, he speaks about in verse 12. He really doesn't want to see his enemies triumphing. He can accept a difficult life for himself. He can accept painful experiences, but he doesn't want his enemies to be gloating and to be prevailing. And so he says, "Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence." For David, the psalm writer, there were many times of crisis in his life, and there were all sorts of different crisis experiences for him. And in those times, he counseled himself that he needed to look to the Lord. There were times when David's enemies were pursuing him, and he didn't know where his enemies were. They didn't know where he was, but he didn't know where they were either. And he didn't know what they were up to, but he didn't need to know what they were up to. He just needed to trust that somehow or other, God would take care of him. And that is the faith that we need in the crisis that we face in life. If we are truly the Lord's, he will take care of us. If we are believers in Jesus Christ, we are the adopted children of God. And God will not forget about any of his children. He'll not neglect us. He will take care of us. Our parents may not be able to take care of us. We may not have parents anymore. Maybe nothing that they could do, even if we had them. But the Lord will always be able to take care of us. So in David's life, we see in this psalm confident times, but we also see crisis times. And then in the last two verses of the psalm, we see waiting times. Some times of crisis can be very short-lived. They can go as quick as they come, but it's not always so. Sometimes there are lingering times of crisis. Sometimes the crisis drags on and on and on, and it changes a bit from time to time, but it's still a crisis. And times like that present their own challenges. And the closing two verses of this psalm address such times. Now, in verse 13, you may, if your eyes are good enough, and depending on what Bible you have in front of you, you may detect that the first few words in verse 13 look slightly different from the rest. And that's because it's in a different type set. And the reason it's in a different type set is that those words aren't in the original Hebrew Bible. They're supplied by the translator to try to make sense of what David is saying in this verse. And there's no particular reason to think that the translators have got it wrong. It means something along these lines. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. For David, in the midst of a prolonged time of crisis, he needed to believe that there would be an end to all of this. Sometimes things really dragged out in David's experience, particularly when his life was under threat from Saul. David needed to believe that the day would come when he would be able to rejoice and know that he was experiencing, that he was tasting the goodness of the Lord. And David believed that that would happen in this life. He believed he would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Didn't just content himself and think, well, this is a hard life, but there's an eternity to come, and all of this will be forgotten. David is saying, no, in this life, in the land of the living, I will see the goodness of the Lord. And that's how he teaches himself to think. He doesn't allow himself to give up. He doesn't allow himself to despair. He doesn't allow himself to think negative thoughts and say, well, nothing's ever going to change. This is just the way things are, and we're stuck with this business. David believes he will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And those were words that in my life God used to help me and encourage me and to strengthen me, that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I have seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living in so many ways. And that has been my experience. Now, in the final verse of the psalm, David urges all of God's people to face these prolonged times of crisis in the same way that he had faced his. He says to all of us, this is what you need to do. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, David didn't want things to be the way they were in his life. He didn't want to be a fugitive. He didn't want to be cut off from people that he loved and places that he loved and not able to do the things that he wanted to do and loved doing. He didn't want to be a man living under severe restrictions that were dragging on and on. He didn't want that. But he was willing to wait on the Lord. And that's a willingness that we need to have in our present circumstances. And we need to wait on the Lord. God has things that he's doing in our world at the present time. And those things won't be accomplished in a matter of a few weeks. God is doing his work. He doesn't tell us exactly what it is and what good things he will bring out of all of this. But we need to wait on the Lord. We need to look to him. We need to be of good courage. And he is the one who will strengthen our hearts. And so we need to teach these things to ourselves. We need to tell ourselves not to give in to godless thoughts. We mustn't be so busy looking down upon this broken world and all the things that are broken in it that we forget to look up to the one who is able to fix it. We have to wait on the Lord. We have to look to him. We have to believe that the goodness of the Lord will come to us while we're still in the land of the living. And the goodness of the Lord will come when the time is right and when God has accomplished the good purposes he intends and what he's doing across our present world. Waiting times are times we don't relish. We're told here the importance of waiting on the Lord. Then the final thing I want to say from this psalm is about Jesus, our light. All the psalms of the Bible need to be understood through Christ-centered eyes. It's not the case that we're given one set of songs with which to praise God in the Old Testament, and then in the New Testament we have a whole new book of songs. It's the one book of songs for the Old Testament saints and for the New Testament saints. And Jesus Christ is to be in our thoughts here in this psalm. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord to whom David looks in verse 1. The Lord Jesus is my light and my salvation. The Lord Jesus is the strength of my life. Therefore, whom shall I fear? Therefore, of whom shall I be afraid? When Jesus was in this world, he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Lord is my light. Jesus Christ, he is my light. He is my salvation. He is my strength. In Christ, flesh is put upon the Lord. Jesus, the Lord Jesus is the Lord whose beauty is spoken of in verse 4. It's the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the beauty of the Lord Jesus that we behold when we come together to worship him. And those with an eye to see, understand, and appreciate the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing to compare with it. There's no one more worth living for than the Lord Jesus. There's no one more worth giving your heart to than the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the beauty of the Lord Jesus that we can think of from verse 4. And then also we can think of how the Lord Jesus is the one who knew far more of trouble and far more of being forsaken than David ever knew. Jesus knew what it was to feel utterly uncared for. Jesus knew what it was to be delivered to the will of his adversaries. That's in verse 12. David prays, do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries. What happened to Jesus? Jesus was delivered to the will of his adversaries. He was handed over to them, and they did with him whatever they wanted to do with him. And so the Lord Jesus is speaking to us here in the midst of this psalm. Christ is in all the scriptures. He is in all the psalms. And we need to look to this Lord. We need to look to Jesus. Jesus is the one who has finished the course. And as we look to him, we will find grace to help us in our time of need. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Amen. Well, we praise God together, singing part of this psalm that we've been considering, Psalm 27. The tune we use is Milton 118. And we sing the first four stanzas and then also the last two. The Lord is my salvation sure, my light. Whom will I dread? My life's strength is the Lord. Of whom then will I be afraid? For when my enemies and foes, most wicked persons all, against me came to eat my flesh, they stumbled and did fall. So, though an army me besiege, my heart yet fearless is. Though war against me rise, I will be confident in this. One thing I of the Lord have asked, and will seek to obtain, that all days of my life I in the Lord's house may remain. And the last two stanzas, I would have fainted had I not believed that I would see the Lord's own goodness in the land of those who living be. Oh, wait upon the Lord, I say. Yes, let your strength be great, and let your heart encouraged be. Upon the Lord, oh, wait. We remain seated as we sing these six stanzas, the tune 118, Psalm 27, 1 to 4, and then 15 to 16. And after we sing, I'll close the service in the benediction.
The Lord is my salvation sure, my light and will I dread. My life's strength is the Lord, of whom then will I be afraid? For when my enemies and foes, most wicked persons all, against me came to eat my flesh, they stumbled and did fall. So thine army me besiege, my heart yet fearless is. The war against me rise, I will be confident in this. One thing I of the Lord have asked, and will seek to obtain, that all days of my life I in the Lord's house may remain. I would have fainted had I not believed that I would see the Lord's own goodness in the land of those who living be. Oh, wait upon the Lord, I say. Yes, let your strength be great, and let your heart encouraged be. Upon the Lord, oh, wait.
Now receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.